This week, New Year's Eve, you will probably watch the New York Times Square ball drop. Just shortly before that happens, you will watch that large countdown take place, starting at 10 and counting its way down. And probably those of us that are here at the church building will do the same thing. We'll count down when we come to that 10-second mark before. Down in downtown Raleigh, before the Akron drops, right? They will count down those last 10 seconds before the big celebration for New Year's begins. You know, our life, if we think about it, is a countdown. It's a countdown to eternity. It's a countdown, hopefully, for us to an eternal celebration. You know, I want to share with you 10 moments in life that lead to life eternal. I know you're going, oh great, Nathan has 10 points. I still have not had 36 points like Ken, but 10, I know that scares you, but don't worry, they're not going to be long. So number 10, of course, when we begin the countdown, is going to be when we are born. That is number 10. And this is where it all begins. Psalm 139 makes it clear to us that God formed us in our mother's womb, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Genesis chapter 2 makes it clear that God breathes into us and we become a living soul in that process of Him forming us. Jesus began His life the same way, being born in a stable. Someone was telling me just before services that they had heard one of the political candidates say that we're celebrating, last week they said we're celebrating the birth of a homeless child. Now, they weren't homeless at that time. They just didn't have a hotel to stay in, right? That's different than homeless. But Jesus came to this earth in the same way, came to this earth as a child. He was born of a woman, as every other human being has been on this earth. Do you know, when we think about that child, we think about that baby, there's so many things ahead. It's just mind-boggling to think about all the things that are ahead of them in their life. I think about how much the world has changed since I was a small child and all the things I've got now, and I'm only 44. I think about Sister Marge having been born just in the early days of World War I. Cars were new. Planes were kind of rare. And to see the things that she has seen since the day of her birth. Amazing things. Just imagine, I see babies right now in this auditorium, imagine what they will see if the Lord does not return. The way the world will come, the things, the decisions they will make, the marriage, their spouses they will choose, the decisions they will make throughout their life. It's an amazing thing, but it all begins at that moment of birth. Number 9 is, at some point in our life, we choose sin. You know, there comes a point where we grow up to the point that we can think and make discernment between what is right and what is wrong. We call that sometimes the age of accountability. But when we reach that age, and we will, and those that do reach that age will eventually choose foolishly. They will sin. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Only one person has ever lived on this earth up to that point and not sinned, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there's going to be that day for each of us, and it takes us from that safe condition. See, we have to phrase it differently for a child before they reach that age of being able to properly make that decision. They're not saved, they're safe. And it takes us from that safe condition and puts us into a lost condition to where we need to be saved. Saved by the blood of Jesus Christ that can take away those sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. There is nothing but Jesus Christ that can remove that blight and take away that penalty of death that comes with our sin. And so we will have that moment. And for most of us here this evening, we've all had that moment where we first sinned against God. And unfortunately, we've had more of those moments, haven't we? Number 8 is that we hear the truth of Jesus. Any journey to eternal life must include hearing the truth of Jesus. And you notice I'm not saying about Jesus. It's not just the truth about Jesus. It's the truth of Jesus. The truth that He provides. The truth that He gives, the truth that is from Him. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 says that in these last days God has spoken to us through His dear Son. He has spoken to us through Jesus Christ. There on the Mount of Transfiguration, God said, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him. Listen to Him." He is the one that we are to listen to. John chapter 1, John says that Jesus is the Logos. He is the Word. He is the embodiment of the truth. He is the embodiment of the gospel. Jesus is that which we need to learn and that which we need to know. And so there comes a time when hopefully we get to hear the truth of Jesus. And it is that moment where we become either the wise, you know, where we are like the wise man and the foolish man at that point. Because if you remember the parable there in Matthew chapter 7, both the wise man and the foolish man heard about Jesus. They heard what Jesus had to say. They heard the truth that He spoke. And so we're at a moment of decision, aren't we, when we hear. And it is the beginning of that parable of the wise man and the foolish man, that they both heard Jesus. And we have had that too, and hopefully many others will have that opportunity. 7, that we believe the truth. Going back to the wise man and the foolish man, they both heard Jesus, but it was their response to what they heard. They heard what He taught, but it was their response to what He heard that made the difference between being wise and being a foolish man. Being able to survive the storm and being destroyed by the storm. You know, the wise man heeded the words and acted. In other words, he believed. And we need to understand that when we talk about belief, that's not just some kind of mental assent. Belief is taking what Jesus says and obeying it. Because we can look in John chapter 3 and verse 36, and we can see there that the opposite of not believing, the opposite of believing is not obeying. That's the opposite of believing, not obeying there in John chapter 3 and verse 36. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 makes it very clear to us that we all have to go through this step if we want to have a saving faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we have no hope whatsoever of going to heaven, of having that eternal reward, if we do not have faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." And so we come to number 6 now. So a person has heard and they have believed, but we come to 6, and they need to repent from the life of sin. You know, from belief we choose to change our lives, to conform to that which we have heard and believed in Jesus Christ. You cannot obey Jesus Christ and not change your life. That's impossible. It is going to take place that if you obey Jesus Christ, if you live for Jesus Christ, you have to change. Otherwise, there was no need to call us to repentance. But God is waiting, as 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, He is waiting that all men can come to repentance. That means that all men need to change the way that they live, that they might live for God. Now the wise man, he decided to build his house in a particular way. The building of his house was shaped and formed by the words of Jesus Christ, his house being his life, that he built it upon the rock. So however he might have been wanting to build it before, he changed and built it right. 5, we proclaim for all to hear our belief in Jesus. Christianity cannot be secret. There's no such thing as secret Christianity. It is to be something that is shouted from the rooftops for all to hear. You know, when we look in the Bible, we see the need to confess Jesus Christ. We look in Acts chapter 8, we see the eunuch. "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Well, you can if you believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confessing there before his baptism, his belief in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 makes it very clear to us the need to confess unto salvation. And so we know that we need to confess at that time in which we are baptized. But folks, it doesn't stop there. Because when we look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33, it's made very clear that if I will not confess Him before men, He will not confess me before the Father. And so I have to confess Jesus Christ throughout all of my life. I have to be willing and ready and wanting to always tell who saved my soul and who can save the lost of this world. You know, the Great Commission is really dependent on this, isn't it? We fail in the Great Commission when we fail to confess Jesus Christ. When we're afraid to tell people about Jesus Christ, when we're afraid to tell people about who it is that saved my soul and can save your soul as well, that's a failure that reaches to the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Gospel of who? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Number four. See, I'm rolling right along, aren't I? We are to be born. You have to be born again. Born again into the family of God. John chapter 3 and verse 5, that we have to be born again, or we have to be born of the water and the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus that one evening that he came and sought wisdom from Jesus. We are born again in the waters of baptism, cleansed from the sin that keeps us from being in God's family. We are made a new creature, as we talked about this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17, and we rise, according to Romans chapter 6, to walk a new life. So we are baptized. We are in the family of God. And that brings us to three. That we live faithfully. You know, you can't just do all that and say, well, I got that taken care of. I can just put it on cruise control now, right? It's like the older couple that it's told, and from what I understand, it's true. You know, all preacher stories are possibly lies. Older couple bought a RV. And they took it out on the road. And at one point, the husband said, can you drive for a little bit? And she said, sure. And he made sure she knew how everything worked. And she got behind the wheel. And this is no disparaging to you ladies. She's driving along. You know, and he's back there asleep. And all of a sudden, they're crashing and rolling. And it just tore that RV all to pieces. They ran off the road. And he looked up and his wife wasn't in the driver's seat. He was worried, where is she? And she came out of the restroom part of the camper. He said, what were you doing in there? She said, well, I put it on cruise control. Isn't that autopilot? See, we can't do that. It doesn't work like that. We try to put our Christian life on cruise control. We're going to run off the road, aren't we? We're going to crash. We're going to be destroyed by doing that kind of a thing. So we have to live faithfully. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says to walk in the light as he himself is in the light, right? And we have fellowship one with another. You know, walking in the light is walking in the truth of Christ, walking in with him in righteousness, obeying his commands, living every day, walking the walk of life in the place where Jesus Christ is. If I'm there, I'm going to be doing what is necessary. I'm going to be having the forgiveness of my sins, as the verse goes on to say. Because I'm going to be doing what verse 9 says. I'm going to be confessing my sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive me of those sins. But I have to live faithfully. I've heard people say, well, you can't fall from grace. It's an interesting thing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 says you can. Said that to somebody, and they said, well, as it says, that if you're seeking to be justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. And they said, well, they never were really in grace. Well, that's not possible. I can't fall off this building having never gotten on top of it. And you can't fall from grace having never been in it. And so we can fall from grace. We can lose that which Christ has given to us. We can see the Apostle Paul as he nears the end of his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, when he says, I am ready to be poured out, and the time of my departure is here, has come. I have fought the good fight, finished the course, I've kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And so see, Paul understood, he looked back over his life and he had lived faithfully. He didn't say, well, I just kind of went through the motions. I showed up for church, didn't do a whole lot else, and then expect the crown of righteousness. No, he fought, he ran, he finished. He did something. He walked in the light. And we need to remember that we have to live faithfully. And two, we're going to die. Lest the Lord returns, we will meet this appointment most certainly. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, all the way back there to that first sin with Adam and Eve, God speaking to Adam, he says to him, for you are dust, and to the dust you will return. See, right there, God sets forth, all the way back there with Adam, that first man to sin after his wife sinned. He said, you're going to die. You're going to return to the dust from which you came. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says that it is appointed for men to die once. So it is an appointment we're all going to meet. And only two men in this history of this world have not met that appointment. By God's hand, they did not. But I wouldn't bank on that if I was you. I would bank on the fact that you will die. James chapter 2 and verse 26 makes it very clear to us that one of these days your spirit's going to leave your body and your body's going to be dead. James 2:26. And so after that, we get to one. And that's the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. I didn't finish that verse a while ago when I quoted it to you. It's appointed unto man once to die. And then the judgment. See, when I die, when my eyes close for the last time and I take my last breath and the Spirit leaves Nathan's body, I will go before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to give an account for what I have and have not done in this life. I will be judged by the words of Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 48. He who rejects me, Jesus says, and does not receive my sayings, has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. Folks, you're going to be taking a test one day. You might want to look at the textbook. You might want to see how you need to live. We will be judged by the very one that spoke those words. We'll be judged by Jesus in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, just before Paul talks about his readiness to go. He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead. Verse 8, he's going to say that he's going to receive that crown of righteousness from Jesus, the righteous judge. Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. We could go on and talk about what he says after that, right? That because Jesus is the judge, hey, Timothy, preach the word, right? Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what needs to be done so that people can face this day. You know, it's interesting when you think about judgment. We do not have nearly as many here tonight as we had this morning. That's how things are, unfortunately. But this morning, we did not have everybody here that could be here. I don't know where they all were. Some are out of town. Some are sick. It is rare. In fact, I would say out of the 5.5 years that I've been at Cary, we have never had 100% attendance. Ever. Not even for a fellowship meal. And everybody comes for a fellowship meal, right? I have preached at small congregations, much smaller than Cary, and in 22 years, I don't think I've ever been anywhere and had 100% attendance. I think you can ask most preachers or most people, elders or whatever, and they probably tell you, no, I don't think we've ever had 100% attendance. Let me tell you something, folks. We may not have 100% attendance here, but on that day, there will be 100% attendance of everybody at Cary, of everybody that has ever lived, is living, or ever will live. They will stand before our Lord. You know, and that's the day. After one is the celebration. After judgment, having lived and done those things, those 10 things, having done those 10 things, I go past one and into the celebration, right? It's time for the cheering. Great celebration is all the saved go home to heaven. We receive the eternal life in heaven that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. There will be no more evil, no more sin, no more pain, no more disease, no more death, no more loss, no more sorrow. All these things will have been destroyed when the devil and his angels and his followers are cast into an eternal hell. Where are you tonight in the countdown? You exist somewhere on that countdown. You exist at some number there. Many are stuck at 9. Choosing sin. See, if you didn't write it down, y'all, people are trying to think. I could see the wheels turning. 9, 9, 9. Many are stuck at 9, choosing sin. Pretty much everybody here has been born, right? We got 1 out of the way. We'll move on past 1. Or, I'm sorry, 10. See, now I'm confused. Now I wrote the lesson. We've all got past 10, but many are stuck at 9, choosing sin. Many out there that are not in a church building this evening are certainly stuck at 9. And we need to help them move forward. Some have made it to 8. Some have heard the gospel. Some have heard what Jesus has to say. But like the foolish man, they've chosen not to do anything about it, right? So they are stuck perpetually at 8, having heard about Jesus, but not having done anything with that knowledge, or even perverting that knowledge in some way. Every person will know 10 and 9. Every person will be born. Every person will sin if you live to that age. Every person will know 2 and 1, right? We'll know 10 and 9. We'll know 2 and 1. We'll all die, and we'll all face the judgment. It's what happens in between 9 and 2 that matters. It's what makes the difference between reaching 1 and the next thing being celebration, or the next thing being like the rich man opening our eyes in torment, longing for that which we cannot have. Between birth and death, eternity is decided by the manner in which we live. Make certain tonight that your countdown is complete. You have all the numbers, right? That you have all those things in your life, that you have done all those things in your life, and that you are ready for death, you are ready for judgment, you are ready and longing and hastening the day of the celebration, as Peter put it. Make certain that you have those things complete so that you can be a part of truly the greatest celebration that has ever been. Can you imagine that day? I try to think about that, and I try to think about how wonderful it's going to be to finally get there, to see God, to no longer deal in faith but to deal in sight, to see Jesus Christ in the air, to begin to rise, to see all those that have died before in the Lord already with Him, and getting to go up and join them, and there forever be with the Lord. What a day, right? You know, I get excited when I get a new electronic. Doesn't take much. I don't know what I'll do that day. It's going to be an exciting time. Don't miss it. Don't miss out on the countdown. Don't miss out on the great celebration to come. But obey those things. Do those things that God has commanded. Not only hearing Jesus, but obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can know the celebration. You can know the great joy of heaven one day. If we can assist you with that this evening, we want to do so. If it is to come to Jesus Christ in obedience, and do those things that we talked about tonight. You've heard the word of Jesus Christ. Believe it. Determine tonight to obey it. Change your life in repentance. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be willing to say that the rest of your life. And be buried in baptism, raised to walk a new life of faithfulness for the whole of your life, and to know that you have that reward. If you're a child of God tonight, maybe you haven't been living according to those things. Maybe you believe in Jesus, certainly, but you haven't been living faithfully. Maybe you've gone through all those things, but you haven't been living as you should. Then repent of those things. Confess those things. Know that God is faithful and just to forgive. If we can assist you, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.